Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it speaks into every generation, and we thank you that it speaks to us this night. We pray that as we've listened, we would learn from the scriptures, that we would grow closer to you and closer to those things that you have ordained. Amen. I like that parable of the fig tree. It gives a real important message there, and I was reflecting on that and how it might relate to my garden. And in my garden, when we first moved into the manse, there was no fruit trees in the garden, so we bought three fruit trees, two apple, one pear and one plum. Well, at the moment, we just have three of those because one of them died. That was one of the apple trees. And the pear tree has been really, really good and bore fruit nearly every year we've had it. And the apple tree, too, was so heavy last year that it nearly broke all the branches on it because there was so much fruit. But the plum tree, I've never had a plum off it in nearly 7 years. And last year, for the first time, we had about three pieces of blossom on it, and we thought, hallelujah, this is going to be the year that something's going to happen. But they all disappeared, and we never got one. And I was looking out in the garden this morning, and I'm looking at the tree, and it's absolutely smothered in blossom this year. So I'm very hopeful that we might get at least one plum. And it's always good, isn't it, when you've done something. And I was looking at that, and it talks about fertilising it. I thought, oh, I never thought about doing that. Perhaps I need to fertilise my tree. And having that care and that love to help it to flourish is quite important. Of course, it's not a plum tree in my garden. It's not even a fig tree that Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about God's people. He's talking about the way in which they are, that they're dead and they're dormant. And, you know, the first thing, you cut it off. Let's be done with it. But then there is that hope, isn't there, that if it's tended with, that maybe in another year there will be some fruit there. I wonder what it would be like if we took that principle with our churches, that in a year, if they didn't bear fruit, that maybe we cut them down. And it's a real strange principle, isn't it? But it's a real challenge to us as churches, isn't it? To get our priorities right and to focus upon the right things, upon bringing people into the kingdom of God, helping them to make that step of faith and understand that God loves them and cares for them. But I want to think really tonight about hope. So I have my hope that we might have fruit on the tree. So my hope's still there at the moment, and I'll tell you in the autumn whether the hope remains. But hope is quite important, I think, to the Christian, to have something to hope in. And I've been reflecting on the world and the things that are happening in our world and the way things make us feel. In some days, it can feel, as we watch the news programmes, that we are hopeless, that there's no point in anything. And the battle over that thing called Brexit, and I'm not going to speak in depth of Brexit tonight, so don't worry, but the battle of Brexit, of whether we remain or we should leave, goes on. And we're no nearer now, all this time on, working out exactly what's going to happen. In fact, sometimes you doubt if any changes will happen at all. And whether you like it or not, something's going to happen, isn't it? But I think it's not so much Brexit that I want to think about, but the way that people in our country are becoming divided because of it. And we see that, don't we, when people are joining marches, whether you're for or against. It seems to be a very black and white thing, doesn't it? You're either on one side or the other. The honest truth, I don't know where I stand at this point in time. I'm confused about it. I think I've read lots of things about it, but I'm not really sure what's going to happen and what it's going to be like. And I know in the midst of those sort of things, people need to find hope. They need to have something that they can hold on to that's sure and certain and steadfast. And I think for us as church, we have that thing to hold on to. It's our faith, isn't it? It's what we believe in. And no matter what happens, that remains steadfast and firm for us. In that we find our hope, don't we? We have our hope in Jesus Christ. And we sing our songs about that hope. We sing and we believe and we read about it in the Bible, the hope that we have. It seems to me that in Isaiah, as he writes there, that the people need to have something to hang on to. They need to have something that their hope may remain. And it seems to me that in this situation that people are beginning to wonder what things are all about. It's a bit like a Brexit time for them, isn't it? They're in a real tough place. Exile is very tough. And sometimes it feels that when they get to that place, that there's no going forward. And yet the prophets continually speak into their situation. The prophets speak into how they feel, how they are, and what hope they must remain in. And I think as Isaiah speaks in this passage, the invitation is to come. In the midst of real tough times, just to come to God. To come, to listen, to eat, to be together. To know that they are loved and cared for. To know that their hope remains, even though it seems such a long way off. We feel like that quite often, don't we? That our hope can be lost at times. I've been seeing a lady who, her husband died quite a number of years ago, but 12 months ago, her daughter died in Canada. And last week, her son died in Thailand on holiday. And I went to see her, and her hope remains. In the midst of that, what she said to me was, God must want him more than I do, or need him more than I do. And her faith is strong. Her faith is steadfast. And I just think, you know, if we could have that faith, if we can have something to hold on like that, then that hope will never disappear, will it? Because her hope hasn't disappeared. She still knows God. The hope is still there. And that is so important in the most trying of times, that we have something to hold on to. In some ways, I'm speaking to people who live in hope, aren't I? Or I hope I am. I hope you have that hope and the sense of hope as you live your lives, that you can hold on to that, whatever comes before you. But what about those who have no hope? What about those who have no idea where things are going to go and how they're going to come through them? And one of the joys I have as a Christian is when I've gone through something really tough, is knowing that God's been with me. So how on earth do people cope on the tough times of life when there's nothing to hold on to, when they are in a hopeless situation? So how might we as a church be bringers of hope? And what does that mean for us to bring hope to our community, to those whom we see day by day? How might we speak of that hope and live in that hope that might influence them to want to seek it for themselves? I was reminded about that programme, One Foot in the Grave. Have you seen that programme? Yeah, he moans, doesn't he, all the time. It sometimes feels like that in church, you know. People moan all the time. And they moan about if chairs are moved. They moan about the hymns. They moan about the preachers. They moan about the stewards and the organist. And I could go on, couldn't I? They moan about, I shouldn't say they, because sometimes I could say we, because I must include myself in this too. We moan about all sorts of things. And we moan because we can't see that there's a bigger picture, don't we? Because we moan because we expect it to be in our little world that we know. But of course, God's picture is so much bigger than ours. So how might we bring that hope to those in our community? And you have a strange community here. I don't mean they're strange people. I mean, it's a strange position to be in, isn't it? That you haven't got many houses around your church, so you're not going to do a lot down your street because people come into this place. But how might you bring hope to those who walk past your door? Well, probably the well is one place of bringing hope, isn't it? There's an opportunity there for you to interact with people as they come through the door. I wonder what their experience is when they come into here. I wonder if they feel full of hope or think that it's even more hopeless than it was before I came in. Because it can feel like that sometimes, can't it? I wonder if you're able to bring hope to those who you drink a cup of coffee with, if you spend time with. And this is a quite important bit, isn't it? The time aspect of things. Especially in a world that works so fast, doesn't it? Days come and days go, and I don't know where they go, but they do, don't they? And time, nobody's got time for anything, have they? People haven't got time for anything. Well, I would love to talk to you, but you know, I need to go and wash my hair or something like that, don't you? That's obviously not me, by the way. It would be a bit of a challenge to wash my hair, wouldn't it? It takes a long time to find them. But we make excuses, don't we? Avoid the questions sometimes because we're not confident enough ourselves in our faith, in our hope, are we? We're not as confident as we think we should be. And yet I want to suggest to you, you are, actually, every one of you are confident in your faith. Every one of you has a story, and every one of you can speak of hope to those who come into this place, who you meet in the streets, who you meet in the supermarket. You can speak of hope. I found myself in town on Friday morning, and I took Julie with me in a wheelchair, and we were going a nice walk in the sun. Our aim was to walk down towards the Brayford from the new car park. And we were walking along the street, and suddenly in front of me I saw someone sitting on a bench who I knew, somebody from one of our churches. And she was sitting on a bench there, she seemed miles away. And as I walked past, I just stopped and said, "Excuse me, could we sit here?" Because she'd not seen us, she was just so miles away. And what she said to me was, "You're an answer to prayer. You're an answer to prayer." And in that very place, we had a God moment, and we found hope in the midst of death, because this lady's just lost a brother. And we found hope in that place. And I do believe it was one of those moments that God put me in the right place at the right time, or put her in the right place at the right time to meet me. Or just brought us together. That was so important. And I seen that lady on Saturday, and she said to me, "Oh, thank goodness you came. I was distraught sitting there on the bench. I needed to talk to someone. You brought me hope." And it's that conversation and that confidence in who we are in Christ that is so important for us as church, that we're able to speak about it to others. What does it mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to have a relationship with God through him? What does it mean that he came and died for us? I mean, very, you know, church language is sometimes not very accessible, is it, to people? You know, if we talk about salvation, what does it mean to people on our streets nowadays? Some of those hymns we sing, and we sing them really well and with gusto, but do we really understand what we're singing at times? We sing words, we probably don't know what they mean. So hope is something, I think, that comes through both these passages we've heard tonight. There is a hope. In the midst of doom and gloom, there is a glimmer of light that we can grasp hold of, and that light is the light of Christ. The light of Christ brings hope, not just for us, but for this world. That is the light that you share with neighbours, with friends, with family, with partners. That is the light that is beyond any light that we can ever dream or think about, but the light that has come into our lives. In that reading, it talks about people dying in Luke 13. It speaks about the way things are in society there, that people had gone to give their sacrifices in the temple, and there they were killed. It says about their blood mixed with their sacrifices. People were killed there. And he goes on to talk about others, the 18 who died at the Tower of Siloam. They died. And the world was in a bad place. Exile was a bad place for the Israelites too. And sometimes we can feel ourselves in that bad place, but it's not going to be as bad as that, I hope. But then when we look around us and we see what happens, then there are times when it seems really tough and God seems really far away. And sometimes it's hard to hold on to that hope, isn't it? It's hard to hold on to it when things are tough. But I think the message here is that we must hold firm, that we must hold on to the faith which we have, that we must hold on to that hope, that we must know today that Christ Jesus died for us, that Christ Jesus bought that hope through his sacrifice to set us free from our sin. We have an awesome responsibility, don't we, as church, to minister into the world. There are a lot of people out there who find themselves in hopeless places, and we know there is a place where they can find real hope and a real future. It comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that hope is found in him. I love that hymn. We should have sung it tonight, shouldn't we? We have a hope that is steadfast and certain, gone through the curtain, opened the curtains of heaven to each and every one of us. No longer do we need someone else to intercede for us, but we can find ourselves in the very presence of God. And I love that hymn, The Splendour of the King. I just picture a scene there in the throne house of God and seeing his splendour, seeing him in all his glory. That's where we find hope, isn't it? When we can gaze upon his presence. So folks, I think for us as church, we're not in an hopeless situation, but we're in one of hope and future. And I think we have a real important message to bring to this world, to tell them about the love of God. And we have a responsibility as Christians to know our story, to know why we live in hope, so that we may tell others that they too me grasp on to the one who brings hope to the world. Amen. Amen.